coast to coast all across the United States and Canada. This is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and delighted to take your calls today on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. We start today with a Facebook question. Bob asks, what do you think of Anne Rice's belief that you can abandon Christianity without abandoning Christ? Well, Anne Rice, of course, is that famous author of the Vampire Chronicles who reconverted from atheism to Roman Catholicism about 10 years ago and announced recently on Facebook that she quit being a Christian. And, of course, her declaration created a significant buzz. She's been doing all kinds of interviews on popular television news programs. And she says on Facebook directly, for those who care, and I understand if you don't, today I quit being a Christian. I'm out. I remain committed to Christ, but not to being a Christian, not to being part of Christianity. It's simply impossible for me to belong to this quarrelsome, hostile, disputatious, and deservedly infamous group. For 10 years I've tried. I failed. I'm an outsider. My conscience will allow nothing else. Now, I have a little sympathy for what she's saying. I have met a lot of quarrelsome Christians. Over the last 30 years in ministry, I've had a few thorns in my side as well. But Christ made it clear that the wheat and the tares would grow up together. And the fact that there are quarrelsome Christians does not negate the fact that Jesus Christ is building for himself not just conversions, but a body. If you read Romans chapter 12, you recognize immediately that we are called to be part of a body of which Christ is the head. Len Rice goes on to say, I quit being a Christian. I'm out. In the name of Christ, I refuse to be anti-gay. Well, is Christianity anti-gay? No. Christians are called to love gays. But Christianity does not say that being gay is an identity. It rightly demonstrates that being gay is a behavior. And gay behavior doesn't help anybody. You're anti-gay when you don't tell people the truth. That's being anti-gay. She says, I refuse to be anti-feminist. It is Christianity that empowered women in the West. Indeed, it is secularism that has objectified women. This is a canard of no substance. I refuse to be anti-artificial birth control. And then she says, I refuse to be anti-life. I don't know what that means. Science has demonstrated that a fertilized human egg is not simply an it. It's a human being. A fertilized human egg the size of a pinhead. contains genetic information that would fill an encyclopedia library. From height to hair color, every aspect of the emerging embryo is documented and demonstrated. And then that one simple fertilized egg divides into trillions of cells, the most organized, complex structure in the universe. If you want to go back to 19th century science, you can consider it a blob of jello, but not in an age of scientific enlightenment. An embryo doesn't have full personality, but it has full personhood. That's science. To say other is anti-science. And then she says, I refuse to be anti-science. Christianity is hardly anti-science. It is Christians that formulated the great laws of science. It is Christians who created the possibility for science. After the fall of the Roman Empire, an empire that was forged on the anvil of classical Greek thinking, anti-scientific thinking, thinking that the world was controlled by capricious gods and therefore was not knowable, it was after that Augustine pointed out that reason without revelation always leads to the blind ditch of ignorance. And as a result of revelation informing reason, we had invention and innovation, Christian capitalism, responsibility associated with wealth, the formation of Christian universities out of which science came. Science is not a secular domain, and certainly evolution is not science. It flies in the face of empirical science. Well, she goes on to say, my faith in Christ is central to my life. My conversion from a pessimistic atheist lost in the world, a world I didn't understand, to an optimistic believer in a universe created and sustained by a loving God is crucial to me. But following Christ does not mean following his followers. Christ is infinitely more important than Christianity and always will be, no matter what Christianity is, has been, or might become. But you cannot dichotomize between Christ and his body. Christ is building a body. He is the head of that body. She concludes her Facebook page saying, I quit Christianity in the name of Christ on this page so that I could tell my readers I was not complicit in the things that organized religion does. I never dreamt others would be so interested or they would feel the need to talk about their own religious struggles, but they do. And the public conversation continues on. This is huge. It's important. And I agree with that. I think this is an important conversation to have. And I think it underscores what we do at the Christian Research Institute, equipping people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect. Our goal, to reach, not to repel. But if you can't give an answer, if you're stumped by the words or the thoughts of Anne Rice, you're not equipped. This is not about evangelism. This is about equipping for evangelism. If you're equipped, you'll have the greatest opportunity, thrill, commission imaginable. The Holy Spirit working through you in the process of not only leading another lost son or daughter of Adam to the cross of the second Adam, but to form in the second Adam, Jesus Christ, a body, a bride, awaiting the coming of a bridegroom. I want to go to our phone callers. First up is Joel. He's listening on the web in Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Joel.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I'm a pastor over here in Mesa, and I was wanting some advice from you. I worked 20 years for a grocery store, and I've been 12 years at the church that I'm presently at. And 4 years ago, they asked me to come on staff, and I said I would only if they sent me to school. So I just completed my biblical studies degree, and I was wondering if you could give me some advice. My aspiration, my vision is to be the Bible answer man myself, but to the Spanish community. I'm of Hispanic descent. So how do I achieve that goal from here?
Well, be faithful. And the fact that you want to do that is music to my ears. Be faithful. Use every opportunity that God gives you. Now, you can be trained formally or informally. Some people do better with formal training, others with informal training. But I think you have to be involved in the process, and there are so many great resources available today. I think the very first place to get started revolves around something I mentioned in the prologue to the questions with a Facebook page of Anne Rice.
Yes.
The place to get started is the issue of origins. How one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life.
Right.
And then secondly, to become intimately acquainted with the evidences for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because in Christianity, as you know, Joel, God is not merely transcendent, but he has become knowable. And he has demonstrated in the incarnation that he has the power to lay down his life and take it up again. And so the cornerstone of Christianity is the resurrection. We need to be able to provide evidences for the resurrection, not only of Christ, but the certainty of our resurrection as well. And then the third great apologetic issue revolves around the Bible, demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Because otherwise we don't have an authority. Otherwise we're in the untenable position of simply having a preference. The Muslims have a preference, the Quran. The Mormons have a preference, the Book of Mormon. Christians have a preference, the Bible. No, it can't be that. It has to be the Bible is the authority because it is demonstrably divine as opposed to merely human in origin. So mastering those three great apologetic issues will give you a foundation on which you can build a very solid house of apologetics.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. I was wondering, right now I'm a missions, I'm the missions pastor at my church, and I'm involved in a few different areas. But if I were to get a formal education there, it does consume a lot of time, taking those credit hours at a seminary. So if I didn't go to seminary, how would I achieve those type of goals?
Well, just find great books and videos. You look at the issue of origins. I've written a book called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution at the Christian Research Institute. We have great video DVDs like Privileged Planet, The Case for Creation, and many others. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Same thing with resurrection. I've written a book on resurrection, which gives you the evidences in a memorable format. But I would not at all shirk looking at the possibility of formal education. If I had only 3 years to live, I would probably spend two of them preparing and one of them serving. In other words, in the preparation process, you're serving, and then after the preparation process, you are really a qualified servant. So I think being prepared, studying to show yourself approved, a workman who need not blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth, is not a hardship, but I think it is a wonderful service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to His body.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you got it, Joel. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your passion and your mission, and we will certainly pray that God uses you, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We are coming up to a station break. Remember, if you want to get your question on the air Monday through Friday at this time, the number to dial, you can pick up the phone right now, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember our journal. If you want apologetics training, the Christian Research Journal is the bomb. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Tumblr, or read Hank's latest thoughts on his blog at hankhanegraaff.blogspot.com. Become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Film, the literature of our modern culture, so often portrays ideas contrary to Christianity. However, Pixar Animation Studios has consistently produced films that are not only blockbuster hits, but also reflect classical Christian values. Robert Velarde takes an in-depth look at the philosophy and worldview embedded in these remarkable films. And in our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement among leaders in the church. Plus, articles on understanding social media, the biblical concept of family, and more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute is our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Hank Panagraph has answered countless questions over the years on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and that's why he's developed the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, to equip you to be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have within you. Many of the questions we receive on the broadcast concern the end times, and that's why Hank has also written the Apocalypse Code, a tool to help you not only understand the book of Revelation, but the entire Bible as a synergistic whole. For your generous gift of $100 or more, Hank would like to personalize a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition or the Apocalypse Code as a means of equipping you and furthering the ministry of CRI. To partner with us, just call 888-7000-274 or log on to equip.org. And now, here is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go immediately back to our phone callers. Next up is Larry, listening on KRKS in Aurora, Colorado. Hi, Larry.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question has to do with dating, and I was just wondering if the scriptures deal with holding hands. I certainly don't want to do anything that's in dishonor to God, sinful. So I'm just that's my question.
Yeah, not a problem. I mean, what you want to do is be appropriate. And that's what the scripture deals with, appropriateness and modesty. Sex is one of the most incredible gifts that God has given humanity, albeit it is a gift that has to be used within the bounds of marriage. So
exactly.
Pre-marriage, I think it's very important to make certain that if you're dating someone, that that is someone that is a likely candidate for marriage. In other words, there has to be the possibility or prospect that this could turn into a marriage. Now, obviously, you want to be modest, you want to be prudent, but to show affection to someone that you are considering as a husband or a wife in the future is not only natural, but it's normal. But again, you want to do that with prudence and wisdom, and in a spirit of accountability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay? We also wrote an article about this, which I think would be really, really helpful. I think it's one of the best articles that ever appeared in Christian Research Journal, A Reconsideration of Romantic Love.
Okay, Reconsideration
Love? Yeah, A Reconsideration of Romantic Love. It may be up on the web already. If not, just check it out. Just hang on, and we can make certain we can put this into your hands right away.
Okay, I'd like to have that, certainly.
Yeah, hang on. We'll get it to you.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, Larry. Thank you for your call. Next, a caller from Cleveland, Ohio. Hi. Hello? We had an anonymous caller from Cleveland, Ohio, wanted to take the call, but they disappeared. Want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Richard, listening on the web in Harrison, Maine. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Hank. Yes, I have a question. It's about the book of Revelation. I had an original question, but I kind of changed my my question. It is... Hold on, let me find it real quick. It has to do with the seven trumpets.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, here's what we got to do. Hang on. You got to get your question ready. We're on live radio. If you hang on, I'll get to you in a moment, or we'll get to you off the air. But we got to go right back to the callers. Want to go back to the phone lines? Let's talk to Art next. Listening on KSCV. Hi, Art.
Hey. Yes, sir. I have friends who are complete or full preterists.
Yeah.
I'll admit that there is a certain beauty in their unrelenting logic, and there's also a certain arrogance in their certainty. Where do you scripturally take your cue to get off of that train and remain at a point of saying that, yes, certain things were fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem, but yes, you still believe in a return of Jesus Christ that has not occurred yet, whereas they believe, you know, the return of Christ occurred solely at the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yeah, I think that that is an untenable position. I would dare say a heretical position. There's a lot that we expect in the future. The problem of sin and Satan is going to be fully and finally resolved. Jesus Christ is going to return and put all things to right. You're going to have the resurrection of the dead. You're going to have the judgment of rewards. You're going to have the new heavens and the new earth. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. So there's a lot that we look forward to, which simply has not happened. And to suggest that the resurrection has already taken place, I think, flies in the face of what Scripture is clearly teaching. And so I'm not particularly fond of preterism in any kind of sense. I don't like the partial preterist view in the way that they interpret Scripture. In other words, it seems to me that the partial preterist is very much like the futurist, only with a history book instead of a newspaper in their hand. I have great friends that are partial preterists, but I don't, as noted in my book, The Apocalypse Code, buy into that particular position.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, you know, I agree with you in it, and I think that in some ways they live in a denial that you could rack up there with somebody like a Joyce Meyer and telling you to deny that you're sick. You know, it's just on the other end of the scale.
Yeah.
But there aren't one or two or three scriptures that you would point them to as categorically put this, you know, how do you reconcile this?
Well, there are a lot of scriptures. You have, first of all, in Hebrews, the very clear indication that Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time. That has not yet happened. With respect to the resurrection, there are passages dealing with the resurrection which exegetically require a bodily resurrection at the physical return of Jesus Christ. Passages like 1 Corinthians 15 and John 5. Also in Romans 8, you have the creation that has to be restored. It is groaning in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. And it is something we look forward to, but which we have not yet experienced very much in tandem with our bodies. Our bodies
Agreed.
Still groan. We await patiently the immortal, imperishable, incorruptible body, but that has not yet happened.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
Nor has
and
the final judgment.
These people are holding on to something that perhaps they value above Scripture.
Well, yes, or use a pretext of Scripture for. When we say that coming on clouds is a metaphor used in the Old Testament and applied by Jesus in the New Testament, that is not in any way to say that coming does not have imbued within it the intent of a second coming. Certainly, coming in judgment is a certainty that Jesus Christ is going to come again as he promised that he would. So imbued in the coming in the forefuture is the promise of coming in the final future as well.
Got it. All right. Well, I'll see if they'll still have lunch and talk.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless.
Appreciate your call, Art. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Joseph. He's in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty all right. Hey, I have a pretty interesting question here, and I kind of wrote it out so that I would get all the details in there. So just bear with me as I try to read this. I wanted to make sure I could make it as concise as possible.
Okay.
All right. So I own a home, and I'm looking for a few renters to help with the cost.
Okay.
I posted an ad on Craigslist and received a call back from a single mother. She would be living in her room upstairs with her child, and I'd be living downstairs in my master bedroom. Now, I'm a single man, so I was thinking about the implications of allowing her to live in my house. I've considered a few of the issues, including personal temptation, you know, being a stumbling block to others. And as a Christian, we're called not to do anything that looks though it is evil. However, we also have examples in the Bible with Elisha living with the married Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4 and Paul living with Lydia in Acts 16. So we also seem to have biblical precedent for the same situation. What's your take on it?
Well, I think you've identified it just perfectly. I mean, if you think about the criteria that you applied at the very beginning in the prologue to the question, you're saying you don't want to be a stumbling block to others, nor do you want to be in a tempting situation yourself. And I think that that criteria is going to guide you to make a wise decision. Is it possible for you to have a single mother living in a room apart from you without violating those two criteria? I think certainly it's possible. Is it likely? I don't know. If you have any resistance in the spirit, I would listen carefully to what the spirit is telling you. But if you feel free in the spirit to go ahead with that, knowing yourself, knowing the circumstance, I don't think it can be absolutely precluded on a biblical basis. So I think, to use a cliche, let your conscience be your guide, is it's guided by the Word of God, which I love the way you're thinking about this. You're thinking about the essential issues. Is it going to be a stumbling block? What does it do to my witness? Is it going to be a temptation for me? And then, is there any biblical precedence for it that absolutely rules it out of court? And I think you thought rightly on all counts.
Well, thank you very much. I've tried to look into this and kind of think, you know, how I would do it. And personally, I really don't have an issue with it. I guess I'm a whole lot more logical than I am heart in most cases, unfortunately. So when I think of that type of a situation, I just think of, you know, it's a business transaction. You know, you're renting the room upstairs and I'm the landlord downstairs, and that's kind of it for me.
As long as you keep your boundary straight.
Throw those aside either.
Yeah, as long as you keep the boundary straight.
Okay.
Because you
All
and
right,
I,
well,
no matter how mature you are as a Christian, you put yourself in the wrong situation, it is going to cause a fall. So you want to make sure that the boundaries are well established.
I hear that, and that's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking, as long as both of us went into the situation knowing exactly what the boundaries were, and saying, hey, here's exactly what we're each going to be expecting of this situation, and we're both Christian people, I think that there's something, you know, it's not like she's my girlfriend. so that's kind of where I was trying to think of it. I wanted to make sure that it was more of a perfect will versus of God, what is the other one?
Perfect permissive.
And a permissive will of God versus an outright sin. More of a thing where, you know, it was, you know, my own individual situation, not an outright sin as declared in the Bible, like having sex before marriage or something like that.
Most of all, I care so much about the fact that you care about what God cares about most, that you're putting His principles above your own. It is a wonderful testimony to everybody listening in. Appreciate your call so much. Unfortunately, I'm up against a hard break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial. Unless, of course, you go to the web at equip.org.
To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. As social media explodes around the globe, ideas of friendship and community are rapidly changing. Yet for all its possibilities, the virtual world can't replace the significance of embodied interactions. Douglas Grotius helps us understand what place social media should have in our lives, plus articles on the wisdom of Pixar, the biblical concept of family, and much more. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
Context. It can mean the difference between understanding the true meaning of what's being communicated and completely missing the point. Take your Bible reading. You'll be surprised how many in the church today are following teachings that are simply not biblical just because of the interpretation of a certain passage. Now, get real help in navigating scripture interpretation with How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. It will help you discern between good and not so good interpretations and know what makes them one or the other. With scriptural examples to show how to interpret biblical passages, it will help you understand more of what the writer truly intended. How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, co-authored by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart, is available through CRI when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces Memorable Keys to Understanding What God Has Said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS, available from the Christian Research Institute as our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today online at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Barack Obama could use this flip chart. I mean, I'm serious. He could use this flip chart. When he asks which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy in his call to renewal speech, or when he asks in that speech, should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay and eating shellfish an abomination, he's missing the point. The Bible as a whole recognizes the reality of slavery, but it never promotes the practice of slavery. The New Testament, in fact, goes as far as to put slave traders in the same category as murderers and adulterers, perverts and liars. And then his mischaracterizations respecting shellfish may be more subtle, but they're still dead wrong. On the one hand, he's right to suggest that Leviticus characterized the eating of shellfish as an abomination. But he's wrong in isolating this injunction from its biblical context. The distinction between clean and unclean foods symbolized the difference between what was holy and what was unholy within the context of an ancient theocratic form of government. So even a cursory reading of the Bible, understanding the art and science of biblical interpretation, reveals that ceremonial symbolism was fulfilled in Christ, who specifically and overtly abrogated the law and called all foods clean. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. Master the principles of biblical interpretation in minutes. Remember them for a lifetime for your gift all this month. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back to your questions. Tom next, listening on KSIV, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, first of all, it's the first time I ever got a chance to talk to you. I want to thank you because I've known the Lord for like 12 years, and the first 3 or 4 years, I used to just stay by your word, and I listened to your teaching, and they really helped me. So I just want to, first of all, make sure I say that to you.
Thank you.
But I actually called about the Anne Rice comment she made on her Facebook.
Yeah.
The problem I have with it is I have no idea if she's a Christian or not, okay? I can't judge her heart. That's up to God. But she was a Catholic. She converted to Catholicism. I was raised Catholic. I became a Christian 12 years ago. They're not the same, okay? I might have said when I was a Catholic, or somebody asked me, are you a Christian? I might have said yes, not knowing any better. But she's just practicing the Catholic religion. She is not a Christian. And until people get that through their heads, or until the leaders, distinguish between Catholicism and Christianity, there's that confusion. I just buried my mother about 2 months ago. She was a devout Catholic. I prayed for her. The Lord gave me some comfort at the end. But they're deceived. And I'm not sure what else to add to it. I just, it's a religion, okay? And anyway, I don't have much to add to it, but it concerns me when people, associate Christianity with Catholicism. It's not the same thing. And
the only thing I would add to that is that the same thing could be said for liberal Protestantism. If you look at PCUSA on a broad base, not that there aren't Christians within PCUSA, Presbyterian Church in America. I shouldn't say PCUSA. PCA is a holy Christian denomination. But if you look at PCUSA, you will find in many cases that they deny essential Christian doctrine. Again, yeah. You can't make a blanket statement on this, but I would say the same thing is true with Roman Catholicism. There are Roman Catholics that do not hold to a crass works of righteousness, a crass system of works righteousness, but rather hold that we are saved by God's grace alone through faith alone. They do believe that faith produces in the believer works, and those works are meritorious, but it's not a crass system of works righteousness. So I think you are right in what you say, but you can't broad brush it either way, because there are a lot of liberal Protestants, just as there are Catholics, who hold to a crass system of works righteousness.
Hank, I couldn't agree with you more. I've been in, 20, 30 churches in the last 12 years, and I agree with you, but we've gotten to a point where I have to define what a church is. As a matter of fact, that's one of my test I asked a pastor, can you define a church? The church is just a body of believers. It's not a denomination. It's not a building. You know, I'm not sure when, you know, we went away from places of worship to be calling a church. But, you know, just like you say, read the Bible for all it's worth, you know, and define the words and discern the words. Read it for all it's worth. In other words, take each word, you know. That's what I got from you the first 3 or 4 years, and that's what I do. I read the Bible for myself, and I look at it, and each word means something. And we've gotten so far away from it. I can see where a person that's not a Christian is confused as to who's a Christian or who's not a Christian. Our president calls himself a Christian. You know, it's confusing. You know, he said he was introduced to Jesus by his pastor. You know, it's.
It is confusing. I would grant you that, and I appreciate your comments so much, and I appreciate your passion for the Lord and the comfort that you received when you buried your mother. I pray that you will spend eternity with her.
I do too, Hank. I love you, and you have a good day, okay?
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your call. You know, there are some things that we should say about this issue. Both sides accept the Old and New Testaments as the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Both sides meaning an evangelical Protestant and a Roman Catholic that is Orthodox. They both accept the Old and New Testaments as the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Now, it is true that the Old Testament that they accept is different from the Old Testament that we accept, because of the Apocrypha. We both accept the full theistic attributes of God. That is part of Catholicism. They hold to a God who is triune. They hold to Christ's deity and humanity, his virgin birth, his atoning death, his bodily resurrection, his ascension, his second coming, his judgment, not to mention the fact that they're pro-life. Now, we do disagree, as I alluded to, over the ultimate authority for the believer, because our scriptures differ. Not only that, but they hold to tradition on par with scripture. Not all traditions, but tradition. And we would say, no, tradition is fine, but always subservient to the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. And then, of course, the message we just gave with respect to salvation, specifically justification, there's a difference. Protestants believe that salvation is by grace alone, in Christ alone, and through faith alone. Catholics, on the other hand, believe that salvation is by grace alone in Christ, but, and that's a big but, it is appropriated through faith and works. That's also a major difference. But we need to be very careful not to broad brush this, because the Protestant denominations, by and large, have gone liberal. What I mean by that is many of the major denominations today deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ or the incarnation, essential Christian doctrine. So at the end of the day, where we stand shoulder to shoulder is essential Christian doctrine. An essential's unity, non-essential's liberty, all things charity. Back to the phone lines. An anonymous call from Cleveland, Ohio. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just want to know, I'm a Christian, but I still have a bad habit. I smoke. Does that mean I'm not a Christian?
Well, no. Salvation is based on whether you realize you're a sinner, you repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. You are a believer by virtue of saying I realize I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. And I want Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life. And if you are committed to Jesus Christ, then you become part of the body of Christ. Now, what happens is, once you are a believer, some of those rooms start being swept out.
Yes.
Because you recognize that my mind and my body, temples of the Holy Spirit, therefore, I want to make sure I'm a good steward of that temple. I don't want to do things that defile that temple or that shorten the length and duration and the usefulness of that temple or the temples of other people that you come into contact with. So, does it negate you being a Christian? No, but it probably gives you a little question about whether you should continue, because you want to be a good... So you want to do everything that you can to stop. It's a very difficult habit to break. So while you're wanting to break the habit, it doesn't mean that you immediately will be successful in breaking the habit.
Yeah, I found it.
That makes sense?
Yes.
May God help you break that habit. I will remember you tonight before I go to bed and pray for you.
Thank you.
Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We all have habits that we have to break. And sometimes they're difficult habits to break. But when you are crucified with Christ, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And you'll still have your besetting sins, but you also have a justifier and sanctifier who is daily changing you, renewing you from the inside out. And that, my friends, is something that we can be ever rejoicing in. Remember to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And as always, you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more of the show.
On today's show, we've mentioned several resources that would be a great help to you or someone you know. So contact the Christian Research Institute and let us help equip you with just the right resource so you can defend the faith. Either call us at 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-CRI, or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. You're also welcome to visit our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. Our passion and purpose is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program is ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org.
You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271.